Steve and Jill here.
Happy Friday.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Steve and Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about, we all know what to do every single day. Why don't we do it? It's Friday. This is the motivational topic. If you want to talk about core real estate and how to do this stuff, the other four shows earlier this week are for you.
Friday is Steven's Feeling Friday.
Feeling Friday.
It's Feeling Friday. That's what it is. I'm like, got to come up with a name for this. Feeling Friday.
Every single one of us know we should get up in the morning, do 100 push-ups, 100 sit-ups, probably run a mile or exercise. Very few of us, that's me right. included, stick to a
Spend
schedule.
Spend time with the kids.
Yeah. Be a good person.
Right. Donate. Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, yeah.
Tell your wife she looks great. Very few of us do this stuff.
True.
This show is about why don't we follow through on this stuff. So it translates eventually to why don't you stick to a schedule to buy and sell real estate to the point where you're so ridiculously wealthy that you don't have to do a talk show like this.
All right, let's save it for the show because I have some things I want to share and ask.
Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Amon wrote, so I downloaded leads from DataTree and I'm planning on doing a mailer across 28 counties. I don't want the pricing portion to be a nightmare. Can I use the market value that DataTree provides? I'm curious as to how they come up with that number, but I feel like it will probably be more accurate than anything I can come up with on my own, particularly because each parcel of land is so different. Different zoning, utilities, access, buildability, etc. And that can have a tremendous impact on value. The counties I'm targeting are also a little more urban, hence the challenge. I'd appreciate any advice. Thanks, Armon.
I urge you, Armon, to not do this. Their DataTree has an algorithm just like for land. This is for land only. Nothing, what I'm about to say has nothing to do with houses. The algorithms, people, the data companies don't care about land. They care about houses. Everybody cares about houses. And so the data sets are very robust. Now, you cannot price this way at all. The way that you should price is what's in our education material, and my gut tells me it'll never change. Pricing, here's how you price. You take a look at the existing property in your data set, whether it's a zip code or a county or whatever geography that you've defined. You take a look at what's for sale, you apply some common sense, and then you reduce the amount that you're willing to offer to make sure there's enough spread in there based on the conditions that are in that environment. Very, very often, I'll go in and I'll look at all the property that's for sale, let's say in Elko County. This is a great example, actually. And let's say all the 5-acre properties, it equals out to $1,000 an acre, $5,000 for what's posted for sale. I know that that's a ridiculously high amount. We buy property in Elko County, or we used to, for $50 an acre. So you have to really look and dig deep. DataTree's market value is something, who knows how they came up with that. It's one tiny little way to look at it. It has nothing to do with what's actually, it probably has assessed value in there. Who knows what, you have to look at what's actually selling and what's, there's a lot of different ways that we go through in our education to find the reality of what's happening so you can price it accurately. If you don't price this 28 counter mailer, and I'm not picking on you, I'm saying this to everybody, correctly, this is what's gonna happen. You're gonna waste thousands of dollars on mail. You're gonna send the mailer out. You're gonna find out, because you didn't spend, he says right here, I don't want the pricing portion of this to be a nightmare. Those are in quotes. Anybody in the advanced group of Land Academy or anybody that's at the professional level of buying and selling real estate knows that pricing is a nightmare. And there is no easy button, and there never will be. And there's these pricing apps coming out. They call us, people call us and say, hey, how about you endorse our product? All the time with us. Mm-hmm. And I review it and I say, this is an awesome idea and it's a great product. Every time I say the same thing. This is a fantastic idea. I love where you're going with this. It's the output is ridiculously inaccurate and will lead to wasting money on mail.
Well, we've tried to work with them. Like, okay, can we Steve-ify it? kind of thing for real, you know, with these yeah. algorithms. Because the people that have come to us with these, which are really good, they're smart, awesome, intelligent ideas, and I really love where they're going with this. And the most recent one, we stopped because we found a competitor that was probably pretty good, but slash, however, of that type, it still needed work. It's still not you. And so one of my things I want to say is, like you said, is like the data tree thing, however they're getting it, I don't feel comfortable with it, and I'm pretty sure they're not looking at what's for sale right now today.
Your data set's not big enough.
Correct. And then my point is, if they are, you brought up my ding ding, the assessed value cracks me up.
This has nothing to do with pricing.
If you have been in our business for more than 5 minutes and you've looked up more than 5 properties and you look at the property, look what they paid, look what's for sale, look for assessed, you're giggling at how different yeah. those numbers are all the time. The assessed value that's put there from the county is only a way for them to go, you know, we're only going to tax up to here because then their taxes are here. This is a reasonable amount. And that's it. They're all over the map. The assessed value is not what it could sell for, not what they paid for it, not whatever. It's just a number for them to base the taxes off of.
This doesn't have to be complicated. And this is the takeaway from this question. It is not complicated the way that we teach it. But it does take a lot of time.
Yeah.
Of all, if you broke down what takes the most time in doing a real estate deal the way that we do real estate deals, this is what takes the most time. Right. Not doing the actual real estate deal, not answering the phone, not doing your due diligence, not selling the property.
True.
What takes the most time is pricing a mailer in Excel. Right. The way we have it set up now with offers to owners, it doesn't even take time to do the mailer. The mailer, you just send the data files to O2O and they do it for you.
Right.
Pricing, I can't say this enough, is so important. It will make or break what happens. You have to buy real estate the right way. You have to buy it at the right price, the right way, and then everything else in the whole transaction falls into place.
Exactly.
Because it's priced right when you buy it and priced right when you sell it.
I'm sorry you think it's a nightmare. Well, you know what's funny? For some people, it's a nightmare. I get it. For you, he loves it. So the another solution is, if this is really hard for you, you don't like it, see if you can find a partner, somebody that's out there that loves it, and, you know, work with them.
Our group is packed full of people just like me and Jill. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I tend to be, they tend to be one or the other, not both. I can be both, but I don't like sales. I love the data parts, and she can do both. Mm-hmm. She just doesn't prefer to do the data part. So, you know,
going in a dark room for me is not fun. For him, it's like, woohoo, see you in 8 hours.
Here's the root of the issue with pricing and the data sets is that you're going to get a false positive if you just look at the MLS for what's listed out there.
It's true.
And with land, especially with really good counties that I'm finding, good counties for what we do, the data set's just too small. There's three pieces of property. There's probably 20,000 properties in the whole county. Three of them are listed on the MLS. Are you going to actually use one of these data pricing models to look at three properties that are for sale and base your pricing model on that?
Right.
So there's just a lot of things involved. Again, we address them very successfully in all of our education material. Yep. And we have person after person after person making, in some cases, millions of dollars a month using this methodology. So it really works, but it's time consuming and very brainy.
Thank you.
Today's topic, we all know what to do every single day. Why don't we do it? This is the meat of the show.
Like spending time on pricing. Maybe that's the one thing that's holding you up right now. Maybe you've watched the program 6 times. You have successfully overanalyzed the counties that you're looking at. This happens. This is true, right? Come on, you know who you are. And
you know who you are. Right? Sound like my 5th grade teacher. You know who you are, Steve.
That. But like, we joke about it. We know there's a lot of us here that we overanalyze things because we're worried about getting it wrong. There's a point where you have to just cut it off. You know, 3 times going over and checking your numbers is good. We don't need 8. So 2 is probably good. And then do your test for reasons in there. Get the mail out. So I was just tying it into today about, you know, stuff like that. We all know what we should do every day. I watched the whole program. I went back and rewatched the program. I spent some time picking a county. I did this. I did this. I did this. I did this. I've got my stuff. And now it needs to go to offers to owners. For me, honestly, I think I see a pause right there, because once I push the button, now people are going to call me back and now I got to show up and do something. This is like starting my business. Now my customers are going to walk in. I don't know if I'm ready for them yet. Does my uniform look okay? You know what I mean? Does my store look okay? Do I have enough inventory? They're afraid to do that thing. So I look at it like, this is part of what we're talking about today. We all know what we need to do. Why don't we? Why are you letting yourself stop?
One of two reasons, maybe both. Emotion. You're thinking about working out in the morning. Oh man, it's going to hurt again. I'd rather just get a cup of coffee. Number two, it's what Jill said, either fear or fear of failure, or there's just some psychological reason that's stopping you from doing it. And it's not lazy. And then there's lack of organization, so maybe three. For me, it's always been up until really probably the last, really since I met Jill, organization. And so...
Wait. Were you more organized or less organized?
I'm more organized now.
Oh, okay.
You know why? Because you took half of the stuff off my plate. Because
Lord knows I did not teach you all that. Cool.
You can't ever get over emotion. You're either an emotional person or you're not. That's just been my experience. So, and I think that there's really early on in life, you decide whether or not. Here's an example.
Yeah, I like this.
I got to do this mailer, and I know it's the right thing to do. I know doing 100 push-ups right now is the right thing to do. But I just don't feel like it today. This is going to be very, very hard for you to be successful at this, if that's who you are, or anything. Forget about buying and selling land. It's going to be hard for you to be in a long-term successful relationship with somebody you care about. If you wake up and do what you feel like doing that day, which is the vast majority of people in this world, you are not going to accomplish, chances are you don't really have any goals anyway.
We all feel like that.
I don't.
Oh, that's what's so funny.
I do, like, okay, on Sunday. Wait. Sunday I have.
Okay, hold on a minute. I have a question then. Were you always like that?
Yes.
Then it's nature.
That's interesting. Happy to be guinea pig here, but
always on this isn't time about to school? Me.
Almost always.
Wow, you're weird.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Yeah, and I bet you every single person in the advanced group is just like this.
Okay. Maybe they are. I'm the yang.
You know, and Jill can get away with that, and she's grossly exaggerating because she's incredibly organized and very, very driven, driven or more driven than I am. She approaches it a little bit differently, and we have this thing now where she's inspiration and I'm information. She's very organized and very hits the ground running in the morning like I do.
I do.
Albeit a different direction.
I do. But you know what's so funny about it? Maybe it's my way of dealing with it. I almost tricked myself into doing it. Because I wake up happy. I'm like, here's what I do. I wake up happy and I don't want to work. Who does, right? That's really it. I would rather just have a leisurely breakfast and get on a bike with you and go have some fun. That's honest. But I know there's things I have to get done. So what I do is I pep talk myself and I say, you know what? The faster you do A, B, C, and D, then you can go have some fun. So that's how serious you think I'm kidding.
No, something happens. I don't know.
I kind of trick myself. And I barter with myself, honestly. All right, I know this sucks. Get it over with. Because if you do this, then you can do that. I do all those things. Why is this funny?
It's just...
Or do you know it to be true?
Yes, I know it to be true. And there's a lot of little tiny things that I love about you, and that's one of them.
Okay. Thank you. Wasn't sure how that was gonna go. I want to ask a question then, Stephen. Mm-hmm. So, all right, I shared like my thing. Please tell me how you wake up, and what do you say to yourself?
Here's my remedy to overcome it all. Let's take this show for example. Everywhere we go, people say, "How the hell do you two, with all the stuff that goes on, all the deals that you do, and the team that you have a daily show?" I mean, people that we live in Hollywood here. We live in, Los Angeles. Probably half or more than half of our friends socially are in the business somehow, which we're not at all. We're in the real estate business. We happen to have a show. And they all look at us cross-eyed like, "What do you mean you have a daily show?" here's how you do a daily show, and here's how you do a real estate deal, and here's how you stay in a happy relationship. You break it all down, break all the stuff down. You start, the very first step is, you start with where you want to go.
I like this.
I want a daily show. Well, you can't have a daily show. It's going to take too long. Well, let's break it all down. What's required to have a daily show? Well, you got to record it. You have to write it. You have to record it, and you have to produce it. There's pre-production, filming, and post-production. How can I make pre-production so simple that everybody understands it, and I do the exact same thing at the same time every single week? Then I put it in format that everybody understands. It's the same thing for the last 5 years, exactly the same thing on the same day. And so how can I do it so quickly enough so that we can come off with a quality product that people want to listen to or watch in the smallest amount of time possible, which for us is Thursday morning, every Thursday morning at 10 o'clock, between 10 and 12 o'clock or 12:15 if it goes over. We record 5 shows back to back. How do we do that? Okay, I got to look at it and got to make it easy and fast. So we use all the Adobe suite of products. We get the right equipment, and this doesn't happen overnight. It happens because I make a huge checklist of what I want and where I see the show. The only way we're going to be able to do a daily show at all is if we accomplish these things on a list in Excel for me. And I start solving solution checklist one by one. We have to be able to record it. We have to be able to produce it. We have to be able to pre-show it, and on and on and on until I can squeeze literally the whole production of this whole show between 10 and 1 o'clock on Thursday. Mm-hmm. And that didn't happen overnight. And that's how and I say this to production people that work in Hollywood full time in production, and they look at me cross-eyed like, how's that? Like, there's no way we could do that. Right. So am I the greatest example of efficiency and all that? No, I just have this desire to do it, and I break it all down into steps, put it into a calendar, and I don't stop until it's done.
What is the piece that gets you there? You know, we all know this, but we don't do it. What do you think? So, I mean, you just said it. It's either emotion, fear, or...
Well, until I met you, this is what I told myself. You know, I just want to be successful, and I want to be somebody. But really, I found out after I met you, because you've got this whole California thing. No, I just want to be rich. I want to be rich and have a bunch of free time.
Okay, so you define what you want. I like this. So pick a goal.
It all starts with a goal.
Pick a goal, maybe not 6. You want, how many goals do you think? Just one? One big one?
One at a time.
Okay, one at a time. I like that. Kimball, what if you want to say, I want to have a successful business. I want to make, I personally think it's better to even put, I know you do this too, numbers on it. I want to make a minimum of $5,000 a deal, $20,000 a month, and have a happy family.
Excellent.
Okay.
So that's a very simple goal. Way easier than having a daily show.
True.
What was it? $5,000 a deal.
I want to make $5,000 a deal, $20 a month, and have a happy family.
Okay.
Be part of my family, not like so busy working.
So the narrative on that is, mm-hmm. you want to do a deal a week, which is about 50 a year. 50, mm-hmm. and you want to make $5,000. So the easy part of that, first I got to get educated. So wherever you get education, get it. We happen to offer it for that specific thing. Mm-hmm. If you want to be a medical doctor, it's the same thing. We don't happen to offer that education, but it's the same thought process. Mm-hmm. You learn how to send out mail. You learn what's going to happen when the mail comes back, and then you back into it. So four deals a month. Mm-hmm. For land, you'd have to send out I would safely send out 5,000 units.
Cool. A month?
5,000 blind offers. For houses, it's probably times, it's a lot more.
And you're only picking areas.
Probably times 10.
That you know that you're buying them for $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, they're worth 20.
I would put all the tasks that are associated with that into Microsoft 365 calendar. First, I'd put it in Excel to get my thoughts straight on what needs to happen. And I would include the social stuff in there, because part of what you said was keep my family happy.
Uh-huh.
Because I have a regular job, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do.
So all this stuff has to happen early in the morning, broken out 7 days a week. Some 2 or 3 or 4 hours on Sunday when you can get away, if that's what your life choice is. So you have to break all this stuff down. It has to go into calendar, and you have to be vigilant about it. And because there's going to be time. And then you have to have, and this is incredibly important, because it happens on every single startup that we have. It doesn't happen in real estate deals, but it happens in every startup that we do. There's going to be a time It happens about 20% into any project, and it lasts for about between 20 and 30 or 40%, where you're completely doubting that it's going to work and plan for it.
Cool.
That happens in relationships.
I want to touch on something right now. The whole topic is we all know what to do every day and why don't we do it. So you just talked about what you do in breaking down the steps. I think this is an important point to make about this. One of the reasons we don't do it is sometimes I think we're overwhelmed. It's telling someone $5,000 a deal, $20,000 a month, happy family, be like, oh my God, I don't even know where to start, so I'm not even going to try. I'm sure there are people that are saying that, but you just broke down in steps, and this is one of my things too. When you back it all up and you really say, all right, the way you described it, okay, now I see. Now, so this is part of why we don't do it, because we're afraid of it and we don't know how to do it. Well, when you just really dissect it like that and you see that it's possible, now I think it gets you to the, oh, I can do it, and that will help you do it.
Yeah, now it's one little step. You know, I know exactly what I'm going to do tomorrow at 10 o'clock in the morning. I know exactly what I'm going to do at 9 o'clock, at 1:20, at 3 o'clock. I'm not stressed. I wake up, I'm like, I'm going to look at my calendar and see what I'm going to do. And if I do it correctly, which happens more than half of the time, that big, long end goal that you described, whatever it is, having a daily show, it's going to happen. But I do need to figure out at 1 o'clock today, if I need to figure out Microsoft Adobe Audition, then that's what I need to do at 1 o'clock.
I'd like to ask this last final question for me. And for me, it ended on this. Okay, we got the task, the business part down of it. I just want to know, what would be on your list as you're backing into it and you know how much mail to send, you know, all this stuff. What about the relationship? what would that be? Would it be once a week something? Twice a week? What's on the thing for that?
At 6 p.m.
Oh.
Every single 7 days a week.
Okay.
Well, 6 days. Whatever I'm doing, whatever work-wise I'm doing, it stops, and Jill and I either get on our bikes, go have fun. If we collectively decide to work on something because it's a special project, there's some overflow, then we'll do that. Like last night, that happened. Mm-hmm. We worked on some stuff till pretty late together, but it was happy stuff. But no, I you got to turn it off. And then there's a lot of rescheduling. Let's be honest. Stuff doesn't go how you think it's going to go. If my Adobe Audition learning curve to do this show goes over, and it did, it was a huge learning curve to learn that program. I'd reschedule it again. You take it and you're, oh, I'm not done with it. Okay. Then I'll find a slot for it somewhere else, either tomorrow, the next week, or whatever. As far as social stuff goes with kids, like Jill and I just went to our third child's, it was in the calendar at 7:30 a couple nights ago, because he's just about ready to take the SATs and he needs our help. You just schedule it.
Thank you.
And you don't have any emotion about it. You don't, you're watching it come up in the schedule, and it's like, I see people do this all the time. I've watched my whole life do it. My parents did this. Oh, I still want to go to church today, or whatever it ends up being. Just stop having any feeling about it. Just Marine Corps-ing it.
Okay.
Just Marine Corps your way through all this, and you're going to be rich and happy and live on the ocean with somebody you care about.
Thank you. The Land Academy, happy you could join us today. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you can find us right here on the Land Academy Show. Tuesdays and Thursdays, right next door on the House Academy Show.
Next week, join us on the Land Academy Show on Monday for the episode called Life is a Series of Little Wins.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. Whew. This is long again. We have like a lot to say this week.
Yeah. I guess we're both amped up.
Maybe. The Land Academy Show remains commercial-free for you, our little listener. So wherever you're watching, wherever you're listening, please subscribe and rate us there.
We're Steve and Jill. Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.